Praise the Lord and good evening. This is Bishop Horace C. Michael, the pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church in Brooklyn, New York. And we are grateful to God to be able to be gathered here together today on this, the first, not only the first Tuesday, but the first day of December in the year 2020. December 1st, 2020. Wow. Here we are now, the last month of the year. The year of 2020 certainly started out one way, but here we are now after about 9 months of hard pandemic issues with COVID-19. And despite what the enemy might have meant for evil, the Lord is blessing us in spite of it. And I know that there are some on this line that have lost loved ones, who have lost family members, friends, co-workers, classmates, schoolmates. And it's not been easy. I know that this has not been an easy time. But thanks be to God that has given us the victory. Despite everything that we have gone through, despite everything that we have experienced, you are here because God has ordained it to be so. The enemy could not do with you what the enemy wanted to do because God had a plan for you. I am excited tonight about being here with you. And before we get any further into this, we're going to open up with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads with us for a moment in Jesus' name. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor your presence and we are grateful to you for the mercies that were presented to us this day. Brand new mercies. Oh God, even before we woke up, you had them prepared for us. And we thank you for divine protection. We thank you for your divine presence. We thank you for your keeping power. We thank you for always thinking about us. Oh God, where would we be if it wasn't for your mercy? Where would we be if it wasn't for your grace? But here we are tonight, gathered together in your presence. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Someone needs to hear a word from you. You have given us this focus. You have given us this teaching. You have given us this focus and theme for this year. All I see is victory. And tonight, Lord, we turn this back to you, to honor you, to glorify you, to hear what your word has to say, and to understand that the victory we have has come from you. Someone needs to be encouraged tonight, Lord. Someone needs to be reminded. Oh God, someone may need to be saved tonight. And so, Lord, whatever the need is from those that are near and far, we ask that your anointing would permeate this call, that your presence would be found in every home, that everyone listening to this recording and listening to this teaching tonight would be blessed, would be inspired, would be strengthened, would be transformed, would be renewed, oh God, even redeemed in the mighty name of Jesus. We commit ourselves into your hands, ask you to guide our thoughts, guide our speech, lead us by your spirit to speak to the needs that are prevalent, to the needs that is relevant, to the needs that are happening right now, to all these precious hearts. We commit them into your hand. And we thank you for your presence tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You all know how I am with regards to our Bible reading throughout the night, throughout the lesson. I'd like you all to be engaged and involved. And I also believe and I know that when you read the word out of your mouth, there is an effect that it has. The scripture says, how then can they call on him on whom they have not heard? How can he preach except he be sent? And the issue here is that we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when you hear it in your ears, it's one thing, but when you speak it out of your mouth, it's a whole different story. Because when you speak to mountains, mountains move. When you speak to circumstances, circumstances move. You can speak to the mountain, and the mountain must respond to you in the name of Jesus. And so tonight, as we engage you to speak the word, to read the verses, I want you to understand that you are releasing supernatural power every time you speak this word. We're going to go into these scriptures tonight, and the Lord gave me these select scriptures. The basis of our focus is coming out of, as you all know, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And I want you all to make a note of these verses. Again, these are the foundational verses. I'll put that up here. And so, again, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Now, these verses, they say out of 2 Chronicles, this is the reading I'm going to do tonight, that I'm going to get ask you all to get ready to do the reading for the other verses. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. It says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Your faith in God establishes you. Your faith in the word preached by his called servants will increase you. He will establish you. His word will bring increase. You've got to get the word in your spirit. The Lord didn't just make you to be a tree. He put you planted by the rivers of water, so that you can produce. And I just need somebody to write in their notes, praise the name of God, I have been anointed to produce. And I don't know, I know that I feel the Holy Spirit already on the line. Thank you, Sister Carla. And that's great. She actually indicated in the chat that she would volunteer to read Deuteronomy 20 and verses 1 through 4. So you all can do that as well. But I want you to understand, you have been anointed to produce. And then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, I need you to understand something here. I made the mistake of saying whosoever, but the verse says whatsoever. Now, I want you to follow me on this. A lot of times, people are judged by others because of things that they have done. And so it's not about their identity. It's about their track record. They may have been a liar. They may have been an alcoholic. They may have been a fornicator. They may have been a thief, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. And so what this scripture in my spirit is doing is it's transcending the thing that is most common. It's transcending the individuality of our identity and dealing with the more ubiquitous issue of our fault, of our sin, and looking at us through the lens of holiness and righteousness, that we are sinners. All have sinned. It doesn't matter what your name is. It doesn't matter what your genealogy is. It doesn't matter what your pedigree is. All have sinned. And so what have we become? We have become sinners. It's not about the who, it's about the what. And so when this verse says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, it's not talking about our identity, it's talking about our past. It does, in other words, it does not matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you have committed. What matters is being born of the Holy Spirit, being born of God. And it does, so that means my past does not matter anymore. And as long as I am born of God, I overcome the world. The things that had defined me based upon my actions, that didn't care about my true identity, that didn't care about my true purpose and meaning. Oh God, the enemy wanted to make me a what? And God said, okay, you want to do that? Then whatever is born of God, forget about the whoever, whatever. You could have been a liar. If that was what you were, if you're born of God, you overcome the world. If you were a homosexual, if you're born of God, you overcome the world. If you were a drug addict, if that's what you were, what you were, glory to God. And the Lord takes us from what we were to who we were designed to be, who we were destined to be, from what to who, glory to God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's identity. Glory to God. Let me get into these verses with you all, because I feel the Holy Spirit already ministering on this line. Okay, Sister Carla, please read for us Deuteronomy.
When thou goest out to battle against thy enemy, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you.
Please read that last verse one more time.
For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you.
Amen. I don't know how y'all feeling about this, but I want you to understand your position in victory. We are not fighting from a position to get victory, but we are fighting from a position where the victory is already ours. I want this to be solidified in your spirit. Do not be afraid. Do not worry about the enemy, because the God that you serve has already gone out for you. Oh, glory to God. He is taking the control. If you leave it in his hand, he's got it in control. When the battle is hot, the Lord is in control. When the horses and the chariots come in, though a host should rise against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should come against me, and this will I be confident. David talks about this and echoes the same sentiments, because sometimes you feel like you're in a battle of circumstances, a battle of situations, a battle of wills, a battle with your emotions. And what I love about God is that the enemy, hear me, the enemy wants you to focus on circumstances. God wants you to focus on him. He wants you to focus on him, on your recognizing him. Because if you focus on the circumstances, circumstances change, and you will always be chasing behind changing circumstances. But when you learn to put your trust in God, the circumstances can change all they want, because you are not built up on the circumstance. You're not depending on circumstances. You're not trusting in circumstances, and you're not even trusting in the arm of flesh. But our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood, his righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame. Y'all know the rest of that refrain. And I want to emphasize, the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemy to save you. God bless you. Woo, my God, we can sit on that verse all night long. Sister McCullum, 1 Corinthians 15. I pray that you all are starting to receive a deposit in your spirit, that your faith is starting to be affected even right now as we go through these verses, because that's the goal of tonight. Change in the Holy Ghost. Sister McCullum.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Woo. Now you have to understand again that the Lord has given you the victory. Now I know that the experience is going to take us through a process. There is something we're going to go through. Why? Because you have got to go through something. Hallelujah. This is not a cheap experience. This is not a cheap walk. Hey, glory to God. This is not a cheap walk. This is not God doing all the work, you sitting back doing nothing, that God, you just walk and doors will open in front of you magically. Now I know God can open doors, but I want you to hear me well. Faith requires partnership. Faith requires partnership. It's God's word spoken out of your mouth. It is God's word activated in your spirit. James calls it faith and works. And so anything that happens by faith is happening because of partnership with God. Oh my God. Victory is connected to God. It is partnership. I do what he says. I get what he says. I do in obedience what he says, and I receive by faith what he says. This is a victory walk, but it is a victory walk by faith. Now, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to understand that your victory is connected to your Savior. This is not a one-person thing. This is not a solo thing. You ain't doing this by yourself. God has given it to us through Jesus Christ. The issue here is that Jesus had to take your failure so that you can take his success. He had to take your frailty so you can take his strength. He had to take your vicissitudinous spirit so that you can take on his unchangeable word. Oh my God. We got to get through this list, or else we're going to be here all night. I'm not going to keep y'all all night. I did not see anybody. Okay, Sister Charisse. Sister Charisse, come on with 1 John chapter 5, please.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Now, this was our key verse. And I want you to understand, I already shared with you the exposition there that the Holy Spirit put in my spirit about the whatsoever. They can call you whatever they want to. The devil can try to perpetrate upon you whatever he wants to. We, whoever, whatever we were, Whatever we were, it doesn't matter what we were, whatever we were, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It takes us right back again to this relationship with God. We have to understand that faith, again, faith is, it's a partnership relationship. And it's powerful when you start believing it. It's not powerful if you just speak it, because sometimes people say stuff out their mouth and they don't really believe it in their heart. Jesus even asked the question, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say do? If you're not going to do what I'm saying to do, then don't call me Lord. And so when we talk about confessing the word, you've got to confess it, because you believe it. Confess it out of your heart, not just out of your mouth. I want to take you to another level of faith. It's not just about what you understand and comprehend with your mind, because sometimes faith will supersede your ability to comprehend. It will supersede your ability to understand. It will supersede your ability to wrap your head around it. But it's powerful. And its power is demonstrated when you take a step. Somebody the Holy Ghost is talking to right now. I need to take a step. I need to take a step. Victory sometimes comes in stages. Comes in stages. It comes through progressive movements, forward movements. Mm-hmm. Yeah, forward movements. My God, let's go on. I feel the Holy Spirit on this line powerfully tonight. Dr. Marbury, please, Romans chapter 8. Dr. Marbury, I see you here.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved him.
Through him that
loved us. I'm sorry.
Very good. Thank you. No problem. Through him that loved us. Nay, in all these things. So the opposition. See, you got to understand, your nerves are going to be tried. The enemy's going to get on your nerves. I'm going to say it again. The enemy is going to get on your nerves. Your nerves are going to be tried. The enemy's going to try to get on your last nerve, because the enemy is aggravating. The enemy is just aggravating. And that's the enemy's job, to be aggravating. The enemy, the devil, Satan, is going to be aggravating. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But Paul says, in all of these things, and he gives a list. When you read verses 35 and 36, you see that there's a list of things he talks about. When you go through that last portion of chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, there's a list of the oppositional elements, things that are seen and things that are not seen. But he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. In everything, anything that you're facing, God has already given victory for it. In all these things. He didn't say in some. He didn't say in a few. He didn't say in a couple. He said in all these things. Persecution, tribulation, distress, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, whatever it is. This is the Holy Ghost, whatever. This is the Holy Ghost, whatever. Persecution, whatever. Famine, whatever. Nakedness, whatever. Homelessness, whatever. Don't have transportation money, whatever. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. God is going to do something about my situation. And what I love about it is he goes on in that same text that I am persuaded. I am persuaded. As a matter of fact, Dr. Marbury, if you still have that text, please read verse 38 through 39. I'm taking you right back there, please. You have those verses, Dr. Marbury?
Yes, what happened is I forget. Yeah, I got to unmute myself. I forgot.
Yep, no worries. Go ahead there. 38, okay, 39, please. As a matter of fact, 37, 38, and 39. Go for it.
Okay, sure. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
I'm telling you, these verses are so powerful. It covers everything. It covers everything. It covers anything. Everything. Neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers. Now, those are ranks of demonic influence and authorities. Fallen angels, principalities, powers. Those three are classes of angels or demons. And Paul is brilliantly articulating as if he was sticking his finger in their face. Death nor life can't do it. Angels, principalities, powers can't do it. And let me sum it up. Let me make sure I catch everything that I didn't list. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. What I love about Romans chapter 8, you can jot this down and we're going to go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Romans chapter 8 is a very powerful chapter. You do yourself a favor to study it well. It opens up with no condemnation. At the end, there is no separation. And in the middle, there's no defeat. And I'm going to give you those three again, and I want you to go and find the verses that correlate. In the beginning, my God. I'm the word of God is so powerful. In the beginning, Romans chapter 8, no condemnation. At the end, no separation. And in the middle is no defeat. And that's your homework to find the verses that correlate with that. That's something for you to do. Bless your heart. Let's move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Sister Fowler.
Sorry, it took me a minute to unmute. Sorry
no
about
problem.
That.
No problem.
Okay, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and to maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place.
Now, what you need to understand, what I love about this, is that the first word tells us when. The first word tells us when. Now, thanks be unto God. You don't need to wait to give God praise for your victory. You need to thank him now. Defy the urgency of the situation by putting praise first. Oh my God. Defy the urgency of the situation by putting praise first. Whew. My God, I can hardly type. I'm trying to type and talking to y'all at the same time. Defy the urgency. You know how sometimes when somebody wants you to do something that's really an emergency for them, they want you to drop what you're doing and attend to their situation. Just because you waited till the last minute doesn't mean that it's an emergency for me. And so what we have to understand is putting the devil on hold. The devil is going to want to make you act like your situation is like, you know, your hair's on fire, and to act in a frantic mode, to act frantically. The devil is a liar. You stop him in his tracks. You bring your emotions into check, because all of us have feelings. all of you don't you can speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues for 21 days straight. You still have feelings. You can't speak in tongues over your feelings. You cannot speak your tongues, don't get the feelings away. And a lot of times what happens is we don't deal with our feelings. We try to hide our feelings. And when we hide our feelings, all we're doing is frustrating ourselves because we act as if it's a crime to feel the thing we're feeling. And that's how your body is. That's how our system is. That's called humanity. That's humanity. Humanity is working. And when you try to operate outside of your humanity, it's a problem. Because on the one hand, you know, you're going to be dealing with feelings of insecurity and inadequacy. If I was really saved, I wouldn't do this. If I was really saved, I wouldn't feel that. That's a lie. The Bible says that the Lord can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He doesn't want us to not feel. He wants us to feel, but he wants us to walk by faith. No scripture ever said, don't feel. No scripture ever said, don't feel. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. It says that, you know, if you have an ought between your brother and your sister and you go to prayer, and when you go to prayer, it comes back to your mind that you are supposed to leave your gift at the altar, go and be reconciled with your brother or your sister, and then come back and offer your gift. It never says that you are not, that it's a crime to feel. The crime is if you insult God by saying your feelings are more important than his word. That's a crime. You can have feelings, but you better have the word. You better have the word, because there's going to be some times when you're going to need to shut those feelings up. I didn't say shut them down. You have to shut them up. Sometimes we shut stuff down to suppress, to push things down, to cover it up. Too many times Christians find themselves failing because they're covering up what the Holy Spirit wants them to bring up. I hope y'all hearing me tonight. The Holy Spirit wants you to bring it up, wants you to get it out of your system. And I'm not going to go to be any more graphic with that imagery about bringing it up than to say what I said. Some things it has to come out. It has to come out. And if you got to learn how to handle these emotions by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord, and the reason why your feelings are valid is because if God didn't want you to have feelings when you got the Holy Ghost, you would stop feeling. But the Bible says, Sister Fowler said, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Now and whatever we go through, the door of victory is open to you. And it says, it maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And so there is like this idea of a offering or a perfume, an aroma. The aroma of the knowledge of God. My. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge. Usually when somebody uses the word savor, it's talking about a delicious experience. Something that is so good. They savor the moment. You don't ever talk about that word in the context of something detestable or something that's disgusting or something that you don't like. It's always spoke of in some positive connotation. And in this particular context, it's talking about the sweet aroma of the knowledge of God. How does that aroma originate? It originates through the people of God glorifying God in their behavior, in their body. It lets off an aroma. My God, my God. It refreshes. Faith is refreshing. It is refreshing. The dew, like the dew in the morning. Glory to God. He gently rests upon my heart. And that dew, like the dew in Psalms 133, the dew of Hermon. It's like the anointing oil on Aaron and the dew on the mountain that speaks of the provision of God. Despite circumstances, God provides. And the scripture goes on in Psalms 133 to say, for the Lord hath commanded the blessing there. Oh, my God, my God. Somebody on this line, I'm talking to you by the Holy Ghost. You need to spread an aroma. And things that get in the way of the aroma flow is an attitude. Your attitude can get in the way of the flow of the aroma. Check your attitude. Check your attitude. My God, we got to go through this list. We only at verse number 5. It's a quarter to 8. For Dr. Marbury, you selected this verse again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, please.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me.
I need you to please read that one more time.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me.
Please read that one more time.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Somebody on this line is facing a situation where you're questioning whether or not you can do it. The Holy Ghost is telling you, you can do it. You can do it. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Now, that doesn't mean that you can do everything, because you're not designed to do everything. But whatever God has given you to do, that you can do it. You need to write that down right next to that verse. The Lord said, I can do it. I can do it. Doesn't mean that it's not going to be, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. But you can do it. As a matter of fact, God wants it to be hard. Oh, God, I don't know what the Holy Ghost is doing on this line tonight, but the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody. God wants it to be hard. God wants it to be hard. Because faith, the only way for faith to grow is that it gets stretched. The beautiful thing about faith is that it doesn't lose its elasticity through using it often. It just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. He wants it to be hard for you. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. I don't mean to disillusion you, but the Lord is going to allow it to be hard. Because there are some things you need to understand to trust his grace. Oh, God, have mercy. You have to understand in the victory walk that God is performing a grace operation on you. You are partakers of his grace. Oh, God. You are partakers of divine enablement. You are partakers of his grace. And as such, he wants to teach you that his grace is all you need. His strength comes into your reality in the context of your weakness. Oh, God. He has to allow something to come your way that will weaken you, so you can understand his grace. It's not your articulate nature. It's not your intelligence. It's not what you have learned in school. It's not how much money you have in the bank. Oh, my friend. Oh, my brother. Oh, my sister. He is going to teach you how to be free from the crutch. Victory. Oh, victory. When you see, when you see God, you're going to see victory. Too many of us are focused on the things we need, the things we don't have, and not the sufficiency, the all sufficiency of God, who is able to make all grace abound towards you, giving you all sufficiency. My God, somebody needs to, oh God, somebody needs to write that down. Somebody needs to write that down. Supernatural sufficiency. Lord, have mercy. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound. Keep your eyes on the Lord. When you see God in the midst of the struggle, when you see God in the midst of the issue, even when your emotions want you to be screaming like you just, you know, screaming like you just want to lose your mind. Oh, God. The profundity of this is that the Lord will allow things in our lives to get us closer to the reality of his power. You're not going to know that God can keep you unless you're in a compromising situation where it's easy to go one way or the other. You're not going to know about God's power to heal you unless you become sick to the point where the medicine don't work. You're not going to know about God's ability to supply all your needs until you get to a place where all your needs are not being met. All your needs. Lord, have mercy. I said all your needs, all your needs, financial needs, intellectual needs, physical needs, spiritual needs. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, the Holy Ghost is throwing some heavy stuff down. But my God will supply all your need. He will give you what you need to get through whatever you're facing. That is his promise. That is his word. My God. Sister Jennifer, please give us Romans chapter 6, verse 14.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Your position is powerful. Your position is powerful. Never underestimate the influence of your position in God. You have position. You have position in God. He has put you in a place of dominion. He has put you in dominion. And sin shall not have power over you. Never again, for those with the Holy Ghost, will sin be your master. You are no longer tied to an old covenant. You're no longer tied to the law, where sin enslaves. Paul said, I find that within my flesh, I'm dealing with a conflict. The good that I would do, I don't do, but the evil that I despise, I find myself doing it. It was quite the conundrum. And his despairing cry was, who shall deliver me from the body of this sinful death? You either overcome your body by the Holy Ghost, or you become a slave to your desires. I'm talking to saved people. You've got to live clean. You got to live holy. And it's a choice. Holiness is a choice just as much as it is a position. Just because you have been made holy, now you've got to choose to live holy. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. In the Holy Ghost, according to Romans 6, verse 14, sin will never again be your master. I need you to make a note of that. We got to go on. Oh, Holy Spirit. Sister Brian, bless your heart, dear. Please give us Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Oh, sin is waiting for the opportunity to take you down. Sin's goal is your destruction. That's the goal of sin. And this process of destruction, notice that I said process of destruction. He will deal with your thoughts, your emotions, your circumstances. What I love about understanding spiritual strategy is that it helps you to see both sides. It helps you to see the side of God in spiritual strategy, and it helps you to see the side of Satan in spiritual strategy. And you have to understand spiritual strategy. Sin's goal is to tear you down, to break you down, to reduce you to nothing but dust. Thief cometh not for but to kill, to steal, and destroy. The purpose of the thief's coming is to kill, to steal, to destroy, to annihilate you. And condemnation is the process of self-destruction. You've got to come out from condemnation. Now, condemnation is attached to sin. And you've got to come out from sin so that condemnation will stop. This destructive nature and destructive quality of sin and condemnation is a part of what David prophetically spoke to in Psalms 103 when he said, who redeemeth my life from destruction. He forgiveth all my iniquities, healeth all my diseases. He redeemeth my life from destruction. Sin has a price to pay with it. You don't ever sin without paying a price. Oh, God. Oh, God. You have to understand the despicable nature of sin. It's not about an act. It's about a nature. It's about a habit. It's about an obsession. It's about possession. It's about control. Sin is about control. And when sin comes in, the consequence of sin is this guilt issue. You feel this guilt, and that's condemnation. Now, I'm not even talking about the other consequences of sin. You can be forgiven of sin, but still have to deal with the consequences of it. Oh, God, have mercy on this phone tonight. You can be forgiven, but you may still have to deal with consequences. Mm-hmm. Paul says here, I've got to come away from sin because condemnation will focus on me. Condemnation focuses on my weaknesses. It brings the focus back to me. And so when I walk in the power of the life-giving Holy Ghost, this power is mine through the Holy Ghost. It's through Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So this life-giving power is mine through Jesus. And because of this, it's not just conceptual, it's practical. I walk after the Spirit of God. And all of this is connected with the law. I said earlier, strategy, supernatural, spiritual strategy. But Romans chapter 8, verse 2 talks about this law. There are counteracting laws. There's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and then there's a law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is what I articulated to you earlier about the sin and the guilt and the condemnation and the erosion of myself, the destruction of who I am and the cessation of my purpose being unfolded. It shuts everything down. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus frees me from all of this. It frees me from the guilt. It frees me from the sin. It frees me from the actions because I'm not walking that way anymore. This is the practical application of supernatural strategy. I've got to apply this. I can't just read about it. I can't just get excited emotionally about it. I can't just even be stimulated intellectually about it. This has got to go deeper than my intellect. It's got to go deeper than my emotions. It's got to go to a place in me that when my intellect is challenged and when my emotions are on edge, something is resonating with inside of me that says, you can make it. You know, that's something down inside of me that keeps telling me to go ahead. That's where this must go. It must go to my spirit, man. It must reach my spirit. It's got to go deeper than my understanding, deeper than my intellect, deeper than my even my will. My will has to be lost in his will. Oh, God. The law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. This is why this thing is not about just getting the Holy Ghost starting to speak in tongues. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Life in Christ. This thing takes over my life. I overcome sin by being overcome by God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I used to be overcome by sin. And when I lived overcome by sin, I was estranged from God. The moment I start living by Christ in me, the moment I start living this new law, it frees me from the old law. Everybody is living by one of these laws. Everybody is living by one of these laws. Either you are living by the law of sin and death. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So right there in that verse, that very popular John 3:16 verse, it's showing us two different experiences. The wages of sin, which is death, versus the gift of God. Now, the gift talks about something that is given freely. There is no payment with a gift. If there's payment, then it becomes a wage. It's a gift because it's freely given. It's freely given. It's freely given. It's given freely because somebody has already paid the price. Your victory has already been paid for. Now, if you went into, pick a store, pick the most incredible store that you could ever want to go in to buy an outfit. Pick a store. Think about that store. And think about somebody saying, I want you to go to the store, and when you get there, I want you to pick out a head-to-toe outfit, whatever you want, and just tell them that I'll take care of it. Give them my name after you picked it out. And just go home. Take it home. Now, I don't know about you. I wouldn't have no problem with that. I would go, because I'm talking about somebody that's got clout, somebody that's got wherewithal. Some people are trying to tell you to do something, and they ain't got no power. They ain't got no influence. The only influence they have is influence over you. And you got to know where to let your influence be. No man can serve two masters. Either he will despise one, cling to the other, hold fast to one, reject the other. If you are living for God, and when God tells you to go and pick it out that it's already paid for, don't you struggle with who's looking at you as you're walking in. Don't you struggle with people that say, who is this person? They don't deserve to be here. Because the way that the Lord is about to bless somebody on this line is that he's about to bless you. He's about to set the table. I got to let y'all go. He's about to set the table before you. Where? In the presence of your enemies. God is going to bless you, not just in spite of, but in front of those that don't mean you any good. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We got through eight verses. It's 8:07 right now. And we're going to start here. Woo! Because the Lord dealt with me about this, because we're ending this series this year. All I see is victory. And the Lord told me he needs to end it in such a way that this is going to be sealed within your spirits. It's going to be sealed within your spirit. Walk in and pick it out. That blessing, that victory. And I want you, I know I use a natural example about going into the store and picking out a head-to-toe outfit. But what I'm talking to you about metaphorically is the fact that God is capable of taking care of every single need from head to toe. From head to toe. He furnishes he makes it so that birds of the air have food. Grass grows. He does all these things. And you know, the flower withereth, the grass fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. It lasts forever. I'm giving you something tonight through God's word. And some of you probably already have heard these verses. These verses aren't new. But when I pray by the Holy Spirit has happened. is that a spark has ignited the gasoline, that the Holy Ghost has given a spark that has lit up the gasoline, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that fire that burns inside of you now, that fire that might have gone out, and you can tell when people's fire goes out, sometimes they're walking very heavy, they're not very engaged, they're almost physically there, but not emotionally there. Their body is there, but their mind is somewhere else. I'm praying over you now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit would reignite the flame of zeal, that it would reignite the flame of faith, that your faith will burn like a forest fire. My God, in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you this night for these, your precious people. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us an incontestable victory. No demon can take this away from us. We have it by birthright. Whatsoever is born of you overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your word has established us. You gave it to us yourself. Your word causes us to prosper. You put it in the mouth of your servants to speak. And our mouths are not our own. Our words are not our own. Right now, Lord, I thank you with hands lifted. I thank you, Lord God, for freedom tonight. As I lift my hands, Lord God, right here, right now, I lift my hands, Lord God, not in surrender or arrest by the enemy, but in surrender and arrest unto you. Oh God, I want to get that for which you have gotten me. I want to apprehend that for which you have apprehended me. I want to get it. I want to understand it in my spirit. I want to get it. I want to understand in practical ways. Lord God, I'm praying right now for every person on this line and every person that will be listening to this. Lord God, we want to get this, Lord. We want to get this in our spirit. We want to get it in our head. We want to get it in our mind. But more importantly, we want to get it in our spirit. We want it to be so much of us that it's inextricable from our supernatural walk. It is a part of our spiritual DNA. I thank you, Lord, that you have allowed your word to come into our hearts. And David said, I treasure it there. I hide it there. I put it in a safe place. I put it in a secure place so that I might not sin against you. And so, Lord, we ask now that for whoever needs to be saved on this line, that by the power of your spirit, that you would begin to work in their hearts, Lord God, that they will seek you for forgiveness through repentance, that they will take on the name of Jesus through water baptism, that they will by faith proceed into your presence to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. I thank you that these words tonight have fallen on good ground. I thank you that no matter what life has presented, it's good ground. No matter what pains we have endured, it's good ground. No matter what price we had to pay for the walk of holiness. Oh God, I thank you. Even your word declares to us, is there anything too hard for you? And tonight we emphatically say no. Lord, you're the healer and you're the comforter. Lord, you're the miracle working God. You are the God that takes the mouth of the dumb and turns it into the lips of praise. You take the ears that are stopped up and cannot hear, and you open the ears to your word so that your sheep hear your voice and the stranger they won't follow. You take the eyes of the blind and you open them, oh God, so that the eyes of our understanding becomes enlightened by your Holy Spirit. You take us, Lord God, into the realms of the intangible. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. You take us to a place of power in your presence, for your grace is sufficient for us. I love you. thank you for every one of these persons, every man on this line, every woman on this line, every young person on this line. I thank you that your strength comes into place even when we are weak, even when we feel that we are failed. I thank you that your grace lifts us up. It brushes away the abuse. It takes away the accusation. It overcomes the opposition. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace destroys yokes. Your grace breaks shackles. Your grace liberates the heart so that we can stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Oh, we lift our hands for a Holy Ghost takeover. Hallelujah. We lift our hearts for a Holy Ghost takeover. And we say, Lord, work on me, Lord. Work on me, Lord. Work on my mind by your word. Work on my heart by your word. Work on me. Work on me. Work on us. Work on us, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord God, work on us. Lord God, there's no discussion, no debate. Lord God, just do what you want to do. Alter and renovate. Use the power of your grace as a master seamstress, as a master tailor to cut, to alter, to stitch, to sew. Hey, God, to make us what we need to be. We are in your hands tonight, and we trust you that all things are working together for good to them that love you, to them who are called according to your purpose. And so tonight, Lord God, we breathe this word of prayer and thank you, Lord, that you are the deliverer. You are the deliverer from all the noise. You are a deliverer from every terror. You're a deliverer from the pestilence that walketh in darkness. You're a deliverer from the destruction that wasted at noonday. You have given your angels charge over us. Oh, God, I thank you that the angels of the Lord are encamped round about them that trust you. And so, Father, we thank you and we pronounce this word upon their lives that you will answer us when we call. You will be with us in every trouble. You will deliver. You will honor. And with long life, will you satisfy us and show us your great salvation? Move by your spirit, manifest the miracle, and we thank you in advance, for all we see is victory. For in spite of what we face, we see you. Now may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, beloved. Thank God for you joining us tonight on the call. We appreciate your presence, and I pray that you have received something through the Word of God tonight to encourage your faith and to strengthen you in your walk. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you want to know more about salvation, just put that in the chat. Praise the name of God. If you want to know about repentance more, you want to know more about water baptism, you want to know more about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please let us know in the chat. We want to minister to you beyond this call. We want to minister to you beyond this moment. The best of God is yet to be unfolded in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. By the grace of God, we want to thank God again for you. And if the Lord tarry, we will see you back again next week if he tarries. And if he doesn't, meet you around the throne. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. And let's remember, let's keep the pressure on the enemy by keeping our purpose in front of us and living as living sacrifices unto God. God bless you. Love you much. Have a good night in Jesus' name. The recording is going to come to a close.